All right. Well, I sometimes listen to None Taken, but very seldom.
Do you think that there's a time in your life where you've ever been the person that is the farthest away from the moon? The person on Earth that's furthest from the moon. So like every
I
day when
haven't
the
I have
moon's
an
on the
answer.
other side, right? If you
Yeah.
were at the highest elevation on Earth locally, there's,
Opposite side, right? Oh, you know what I was thinking? I was like, no, because I've never been in a submarine.
See, that's where this came from. I was listening to a
Okay.
podcast and they were talking about the furthest you can get from the moon, and they were talking about being in a submarine. I'm like, no, because even still, the moon's there and there's the other
Right.
half of
If
the
you're on
planet there.
Everest, if you're on Everest and the moon's on the other side, like, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, you got every day to try this. Man, if I had like really bad OCD, that would drive me to just like find heights like all the time and just be like, okay, am I here yet? Like, am I, where's the moon? Where's the moon? Is it on the other side of the planet? All right.
I'm sure there's an app for that. No, I that's very funny. I've never thought of that before.
Well, speaking of stoned thoughts, this guy did something hilarious to prank some cops. We'll play this and we'll start the show.
Okay.
At the beginning, by the end, they're gonna describe it because the cop's gonna like specifically list the things he's mad at him about. But just for clarification, so that it can be funny for you at the beginning, there's a guy sitting on the curb, and there's a cop going through his car, pulling out like a bong, and another cop talking to him while he's sitting on the curb. That's all the setup you need.
Yes.
Nothing. I mean, it's 420, but I don't smoke any weed.
What is it you were smoking? There's nothing even in here, it's just water. What was all the smoke coming out of your car?
Oh, that was just for effect. That's a smoke machine.
What smoke machine?
Oh, just the one in the back seat.
So this is like a joke? Is that why you're dressed like that?
You don't like the fit?
So if you're not under the influence, are we gonna have any other issues tonight?
I'd hope not.
Please don't sit in front of the police department and drink non-alcoholic beer. It's just silly.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
Do you want to hit before I go?
Don't be silly.
Don't let me in this damn house.
Please just leave.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, one, two, three. All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. Start a show.
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like None Taken.
Boom.
Friday Headlines Roundup Edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines from all over the internet and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. We are your antidote to mainstream media. That's an old note. I'm reading what's on the page in front of me. I'm Joe Biden. Pause. But first, let's take the sledgehammer to the echo chamber. To the culture war echo chamber. It's not fucking Friday. Take me out.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
What? You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Exactly, sir. My note seemed to have reverted to an older copy of the note. It says last updated December 2022. This has not been, those are not current words. Let's see what else I can do off the top of my head. If you want to be cool. Well, first of all, you're cool. You're here. But if you want to be like, hey, man, it's something to be really cool if you could do. If you could go over to nonetakenpod.com. And which one am I going to go with? join the Patreon. Join the Patreon. We got three levels to sign up at. If you want to be a total dirtbag, it's only $3 a month. Come on, man. You know, if you already have a Patreon, just add us to the little thing. We'll throw show up in your feed. Here's what you get at any level. So I don't mean to low sell it. Look, you're probably like, you make good money and you know, you want to show it off a little bit. So $9 a month or $7. Something intermediate is nine. Okay. $9 a month. And then also at the $18 a month level, you get a culture war veteran t-shirt. With any of those levels though, you get the full video of the show, unedited, whether some people think that's a good thing. And I also clip down the audio. So you get the full unedited audio too. That one's usually a little bit more cleaned up just because I hate pauses and the only thing I hate more than pauses is editing video. So that goes up raw. You get that. And then you also get our bonus interview. So it's going to happen more and more too. Right now we have, so first off, if we have a guest, usually we'll record it a couple of days earlier or a week earlier, and that'll live immediately in the Patreon, the video and audio and everything. And then, so for example, 2 weeks ago, we talked to Mike Burns. If you don't know who Mike Burns is, he ran this Instagram or this Twitter account at like the early days of Twitter that like, if you don't know about it, that's fine. There's all these niche areas of pop culture, but this was a huge fucking deal. It was called Dad Boner, and nobody knew who the character, who the guy was. And like the head writer at Deadspin went, which is like Barstool basically, right? Like imagine if it was did a bunch of investigative reporting and found out that it was Mike Burns, this comedian Mike Burns. So we had him on, we did an interview, we touched on that a little bit and a few other stuff. That video, it will be on our feed eventually. Like when we can't do an episode sometime, we'll probably post that, but first dibs always in the Patreon. And you get all that at any level you choose. I don't want to manage three different things at tier levels and stuff. So, you guys are cool with it. I love the way that you guys have joined in. Thank you sincerely to all of you who have shown us that you like what we're doing, you want to have some skin in the game with it. It really means the world to me. Thank you. I speak for Alan, say the same thing. I know it means the world to him too. Cause you know, we do this for us, but it really helps to know that it's landing with people. And absolutely, we know that you know this too, because you probably feel somewhat unique in your friends groups where it's like, why does everybody want to be cunts to each other politically? And we've like figured out, we've all sort of hacked the code on how to get along like this. Most of us have very different political beliefs, but we figured out how to like be in this area. So we all know that this isn't ever going to be a huge group, but we know that you guys are out there, and it really means huge thank you, because we really see it when people commit to paying us every month to absolutely get the extra stuff on this. Okay, I've been talking.
You guys are the best. You guys are the best. We also do a secret track before every show now. We've been doing that for about a month or so, I want to say. We do another, you know, 30, 45 minutes
we're
or
at
so.
50 of, minutes of this so far.
Nice. Of extra content before the episode starts. We play a lot of clips on there that don't get on the regular show. Some are a little spicy. So that's fun, too. Also, go to nuntakenpod.com to go to our merch store. We got your cunt mugs. We got your cool hoodies, your Allen's Edging Service hoodie, all that stuff.
It's got the pocket logo now, so it's not a big logo on the front.
Yeah.
Subtle.
Also, don't forget, support the people that support us. SlickIt'sDigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. SlickIt'sDigital.com.
Fucking nailed it.
Friday's here, the weekend's here. Have a can of beer. We made it
exactly
to another
sir
weekend. Hope y'all having a good one out there. We got Mother's Day coming up. Forget to buy your mom flowers. It's this Sunday, I think.
Fuck. It? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Hey, we should get a floral sponsor. No.
I always go with mattresses and boner pills, but yeah, it was like 1-800-FlowersDirect.com. Yeah.
Those edible arrangements.
Edible arrangements.
Edible arrangements.
Edible arrangements.
I am coming to you live from Washington, Morton, Washington.
I see Washington behind you.
Yeah, it's freaking gorgeous, man. It's like perfect up here right now. I guess I made it up here when it wasn't raining, which is magical.
Right.
So anyway, shall we get into it?
We shall. As long as we are talking about nature, can I play you a real clip of cicadas?
Oh, yeah.
So we were walking the dogs right before we did the show. And here we go. This is real. This is not a joke.
This is not going to be a John Cicada song.
Wow.
You hear Mithra in the background there.
Yeah. That's really cool. That sounds like, you know, how sometimes they do in those science fiction movies, they'll have like, if they're on some planet, they'll have like the background noise to make it sound eerie.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of sounded like that a little bit.
Yeah.
That clip you sent me last night with the rain and the cicadas was also really
Dude,
cool.
It was wild outside yesterday. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. As promised, a show.
A show indeed. All right. So we'll start off here with some Middle East topics. Israeli militaries hold about 100,000 Palestinians to evacuate part of the southern Gaza border city of Rafah ahead of a limited scope military operation.
The special military operation?
Rafah. Special military operation, yes. Yeah. So a lot of stuff about this. Actually, let me just hit this next one, too, because it's kind of tied.
Yeah, these are tied together.
The U.S. said it paused a shipment of 3,500 bombs to Israel last week to signal concern over a potential large-scale ground operation in Rafah.
Now, the word about this sort of leaked out slowly over time, and I don't know if you were probably pretty suspicious on the first reportings, right? You're like, no way Joe Biden's actually putting his foot down. But it does appear that that's what's happening. Is this just a stunt?
Yeah.
Have you dug into it?
I think this is real. And actually,
Israel.
I don't know if it was a press conference or if, what I just caught the soundbite, but he said in public today that he would consider doing further things like this if Israel continued to to be a bad boy.
Yeah.
So this isn't going to immediately impact anything there. However,
I'm glad he did the calculus. Sorry, go on.
It has caused quite a stir. A lot of people in Israel are speaking out saying this sucks, but we can do it either way.
Yeah, good. Let's prove that then. Put your fucking money where your like emotions are. I get being mad about what happened on October 7th. I don't want more innocent people dying.
Same. So they're saying that, like I said, it won't have an immediate impact. However, it could cause them to begin sort of limiting how many shells they use or switching different types of munitions.
Well, also, Ukrainians died and Russians gained ground because they were shooting out smoke bombs. Like, you know, I bet Israel could do a lot of work with smoke bombs in Gaza. Like,
part of the stuff that we're not going to send them now is also technology that converts so-called dumb weapons into smart weapons, more precision or surgical weapons. And that
kind of want them to be more precise.
I agree.
I'm glad that was your point. It was my first thought.
Yeah, it's a little concerning. Yeah. Like, no, maybe we don't want to use cluster bombs. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. It certainly is having an impact. I mean, it's all over, you know.
Well, I like that. I like to see that Biden did the calculus and realized that, like, look, at the end of the day, in November, BB is going to come out and make some big statement supporting Trump anyways. So just like, fuck him. Like, if long term you want to make sure that America has kept its alliance with the only democracy in the region, I understand that. And I hate the contortions that forces our policy into, but I get that. Foreign policy is never like it's full of contradictions. So like, I get that. But you should also realize that you don't need to keep bending over backwards. He's going to stab you in the back eventually anyways. So because it's in his best interest that Donald Trump's president. So like, look, the man isn't going to do you any favors, and he's going to just take from you. And
well, we've talked about the AIPAC lobby on here before. And so
it's a good thing we're not a more popular podcast, so we can say things like what you're saying.
Biden has been such a steadfast, stalwart supporter of Israel throughout his political career and throughout his presidency. To see him take this step, I think, is a pretty significant thing.
Yeah, I agree. I also don't think that I should be making negative statements about Israel with a German eagle tattoo on my shoulder in the shot right now. Can you take a screenshot real quick?
No, I can't.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I don't regret that tattoo, but sometimes I'm anxious with it.
I'm sure it starts lots of fun conversations.
It started a conversation with some guy from I don't know where at the beach one time in Cabo. And I was like, ah, cool. He recognized it as the football team logo, which it is. It's not like a German eagle off of any flag. It's on the, it's, like, here's my logic. The German soccer team, the last thing they want to be associated with logo wise is Nazi Germany. So I was like that, sure. But the German eagle's a thing. So it's like, that seems like a good version of it, you know, sort of. Yeah. I did have sure, it. I got it done in someone's garage. So I mean, yeah. Speaking of sports teams and stuff, it's me and Natasha's anniversary yesterday, and look at what she got me.
Oh, nice. Australian football.
It's Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. It's a it's an Adelaide Crows jersey. They call it a Guernsey, I think, or a
Guernsey. Not a jersey.
Yeah, it's different, but anyway. Dude, that's cool. Dude, it's so badass. I fucking love it. I never want to take it off, especially.
I was wondering what it was.
Yeah, this time of year, it's just so fucking comfortable. Anyways,
cool. I thought it was a basketball jersey at first. Yeah, I was like, I don't recognize that
no,
logo.
No, if it was a basketball jersey, I'd wear a short sleeve shirt under it. I'm a white guy. Why do white guys do that? Like, white guys can't just wear a basketball jersey. They always have to wear a white shirt underneath it. All right.
You know, I do the same thing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get in the pool like that, or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just feel like people wearing shirts like that also wear them in the pool. Okay. Israel's cabinet voted to shut down local operations of the Qatari-owned news. I'm glad you have this. I've been happy. I've been looking forward to this hot take. Israel's cabinet voted to shut down local operations of the Qatari-owned news broadcaster Al Jazeera. They're only doing it for 45 days, but they are shutting down the local office operations of Al Jazeera inside Israel. Right. Saying that it posed a national security threat. And my initial thought, because they were proposing this maybe a month or so ago, and my initial thought was like, well, I mean, it's not America, so it's not the same constitutional law or anything, but I'm like, that doesn't sound very liberal. That sounds pretty illiberal to, you know, shut down voices. But it's the state media from another country. You might think Al Jazeera does good reporting. I don't know. I think that they have.
I do.
I think they do. Look, they do as good reporting as anybody else does with biases. Let's say that, right?
Sure, sure.
But they are ran by they are state media for Qatar. And Qatar isn't exactly non-biased with their position towards Hamas, let's say, right? I mean, they were, they would probably have a problem with Hamas's political leadership living in Qatar, right?
One would think, yes.
Right. Good for them. I think that it would be I think it's the right thing to do. I think that if you're operating a war and, you know, and you don't want biased news reported from inside your country, you have the right to shut that down. They can still be reporters. They just don't have an operation within your country.
Yeah, I still don't like it, man.
If there was a private company from Qatar that was in there, it would be a totally different perspective, but it's the state media from RT was here.
Sure, sure. I think Al Jazeera, generally speaking, has been relatively fair in its reporting over the years.
I mean, they don't do things that are any worse than MSNBC or CNN.
Sure, not at all, not at all. So they've been covering Gaza and the war 24/7, essentially, since October 7th happened.
Which, God forbid, a Middle Eastern news outlet does, right? Like, yeah.
Right. Now, they are still operating within Gaza. They do still have operations there. Actually,
probably a better place to be if you're trying to get some information on what's going on there than in Israel.
Some of their journalists have been killed and injured. Yeah.
Don't forget, before this, Israeli IDF forces have shot their journalist.
Yep.
Shot that woman in the head on purpose.
Yes. Yep. And then even like the bureau chief for Al Jazeera in Israel was shot. His family, he lost some kids, and I think his wife was killed as well. So, I mean, Al Jazeera has been in it, and they've, they've certainly had some casualties because of their dedication to that journalism. I don't know if it's not authoritarian; it's authoritarian adjacent to suspend this sort of journalism. I don't like it. I take your point.
You're conducting a war. There's an organization that is state media that has questionable relationships with the opponent. Yeah. Your opponent in the war. I think that it's reasonable to expect them to do this. I don't like it. I don't like the war.
Yeah, I don't like any of that.
All right. Turkey's, all right, your turn. Turkey. Gobble, gobble.
Turkey suspended all imports and exports with Israel, saying the policy will continue until uninterrupted and sufficient humanitarian aid flows into Gaza. They have been talking about doing this for a while, and now they've decided to go ahead and implement it. So they supply Israel with some various things, minerals, metals, other
magnesium?
Things like that. Magnesium, aluminum.
Oh, really? I just named things.
Yeah. Israel's a pretty small country. They don't have a lot of resources for some things like that, you know, domestically. So they have to import that stuff. So I don't know if it'll make a dent in the bucket, but I'm okay with Turkey doing that.
Yeah, same reasons.
Erdogan sucks, but yeah. I mean, this isn't bad.
Erdogan's the reason I don't like Turks. Okay. Appreciate that.
Sure, I'll say that.
In 2023, Turkey was Israel's fifth biggest import partner, so not insignificant.
Makes sense geographically.
Mainly include steel, construction materials, mechanical devices, mm-hmm. oil, and agriculture food products. So, they'll get them from somewhere else. If Russia got around all those sanctions, Turkey can fuck off, right?
They won't get that good Turkish candy though.
Turkish gold, those Camel cigarettes.
Oh yeah, those are the good ones.
Foreign?
Yeah,
Canada. Canada arrested three Indian nationals. Ooh, update. Update?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet. Update. I don't read these in advance, guys. Canada arrested three Indian nationals in connection with the 2023 murder of Sikh separatist leader. Investigations into potential leaks to the Indian government are ongoing. Interesting timing. They've got their elections going on in India, which take weeks to roll in because of their Indian-ness.
Well, they have a huge population.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what it sounded like.
So
Modi's talked about win, this. That's a separate subject. Sorry.
We talked about this on the show before. It was pretty shocking when Trudeau came out and said, hey, we think this was related to the Indian government, perhaps, or these were agents of the Indian government that assassinated this person. And we kind of didn't know what to make of that. The investigation has been ongoing since. These three individuals had been in Canada. I think they were in Edmonton, I believe is where they were.
Yeah.
They had been there for 3 to 5 years. They're all relatively young. They're like 22, 23 years old. And they say that they were directly involved in this assassination, the plot, and actually carrying it out. So they're still investigating as far as what ties these individuals might have to the actual Indian government. So that's still to be seen. But this seems like some progress in the case.
Did you see the clip when they arrested these guys?
No.
Because how many was it? Three, right? Okay, there's only two in this video.
Bloody fuck you, bloody!
Oh.
Bloody fuck you, bloody!
I missed that clip somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, I was traveling, perhaps.
Yeah. It was on the news. It was all over the news.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. Plastered all over CNN.
Yep.
All right, EU member states agreed in principle to use interest from $225 billion in frozen Russian central bank assets to fund $3 billion in annual military aid for Ukraine. So 27 member states have signed off on this. It still has to, there's a couple more.
Oh, they're using the interest.
Add. Yes, the interest.
Okay, I actually feel pretty all right with
that. I'm very okay with this.
Okay, but I don't, so you wouldn't more, like it if you would, wait, are you getting, get into the whole story. Maybe we sure. like, go ahead.
Okay, there's a couple more hurdles it has to clear before this actually happens. Belgium, has been pretty staunch about not providing anything to Ukraine, but they seem to be okay signing off on this. So we'll see if it passes. But no, I'm totally fine with that interest going to aid Ukraine.
What if it was the principal? What if they took the money? So what is this money? Like, spend a little more time talking about what the money is.
This is oil money, essentially oil revenue that has been frozen.
Yeah, but they're individuals' money. It's not Russia's bank account. This is the money of Russian individuals, Russian private citizens.
Oligarchs.
Yes, they had their assets frozen because of their relationship with the Russian government, because they aren't independent from the government, but they still are individuals, right?
Yeah.
So
I would be...
Their assets were frozen, and we're talking about using the interest accrued off of those assets.
Correct.
Which
I think it would be ethically questionable to use the actual assets. I could probably be persuaded that it would be okay, but I would definitely feel less comfortable about it than I do this. in my opinion, this is perfectly reasonable.
I feel like this is a settlement. It still bothers me in the same way. I don't think that we need to extend the, because it just, it causes that into those individuals to dig in more. It forces them to be, it creates a blood oath if they didn't have one already. Right. Like they literally have skin in the game now. So in, for their version, they best way they get their money back is Russia wins now. I don't like the incentives it creates, but perhaps.
Well, I feel like
if on balance it's better, but when I focus on the negatives, I don't like those negatives.
I feel like if you're an oligarch in Russia who's been allowed to accumulate this much wealth under Putin's regime, you already have skin in the game,
sure.
And you understand that.
Yeah, I'm in fantasy land to be saying that.
Well, I just think. It's a little bit naive to not to call.
No,
you
it's
naive,
okay. It's a little bit, I'm yeah, not. It's not
a little
taken,
bit
bro.
Naive to think that because understand that these guys, Putin's reign is existential for them, and they understand.
You're
that.
Totally right. And these are all the sleazebags that after the fall of the USSR, you know, tricked
the country.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I know I'm exaggerating it, but this is the way I've heard it described. They gave out all these like shares of the companies were all
formerly government owned
became privatized. So they all had shares and they just like handed them out to the citizens, and the citizens haven't lived under that form of government.
Didn't understand. Really yeah. What was happening.
So people would go around and be like, hey, that's just a piece of paper. You know, like you go up to your kid brother and you're like, I'll give you 2 dimes for that quarter, you know?
right.
Like that's not, and that's not, you take 2 nickels for the quarter, you know? Yeah. Anyways. Sure. Yeah. And that's how a lot of these guys became the oligarchs that they are, is they just stole. And that's oversimplified, and that was 30 years ago, but still.
Well, and also essentially the deal that was made, whether officially or unofficially, obviously unofficially, was that Putin said, I'll allow you to accumulate all this wealth and sort of, you know, centralize all the wealth with these people who are his friends or his acquaintances. In the exchange of that, you agree not to be involved in politics. So you get to make all the money you want, but you have no say in this government. And that's how Putin's run it.
It's like a 1950s marriage. Why don't we go back to a classic American family life and Papa
they went
Putin.
To a they're trad oligarchs.
There we are. That's what they are. There we are. Write that down. All right, go on.
Actually, I think that's all I have to say about that. I think it's your turn.
I swear I just said that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I interrupted. That's what happened. the U.S. House?
Yes.
U.S. House rejected an effort by...
Oh, wait, no.
I wanted to say it. I was so close to saying it. You get to say...
You know what? Go ahead.
You get to say... No, it's fine. Just remember, give her moniker, okay?
Okay.
We got a nickname from MTG during the secret track. You guys will hear it here. Cheapskates, you'll hear it here. The U.S. formally accused Russia of using banned chemical weapons in Ukraine. Oh, that's how they got Saddam Hussein. He was using chemical weapons we gave him to kill Iranians with. Hey, listen here. You're supposed to kill Iranian human waves with this, not your own people.
Can't use our chlorine
Come
gas.
Come on, man.
That's branded.
Kind of sound like Joe Biden there. The U.S. formally accused Russia of using banned chemical weapons in Ukraine, specifically a type of choking agent. Oh, no, getting all horny. to gain battlefield advantages, not as horny.
So Russia is a signatory to the chemical weapons ban.
Oh, this is one of the ones they've signed.
They've signed it.
This isn't
they've
like the ICC it. And we're like, okay, go ahead.
No,
we are
no,
not a
they,
part
they,
of that.
They signed on. And this particular chemical weapon is from World War I, which makes me think.
Is it phosgene?
No, it's chloroplast or something.
I think that I'm almost certain because it was his, he was a chemical, physical chemist. I don't know. Oh, I'm blanking on the type of chemist. Remember that book I read recently? It was, about the guy that was like America's chief science officer that is like not even mentioned in the Manhattan Project or the Oppenheimer movie.
Oh, yes.
I'll have to look up the guy's name, but yeah, I bet that guy made that.
Conan O'Brien.
Conant. Okay. James Conant. Okay, go on. Sorry, dude. Wait. Why?
Yeah, no.
Battlefield of. Oh, I already said the headline. Okay. Well, this is not okay. I mean, this is something that we've said for 110 years now. We don't like.
Right. So this is practically Stone Age weapons here. I mean, the stuff that we used or was used in World War I is absolutely horrific and atrocious. So the fact that they would bring any of that back to the battlefield in modern times.
When they have other options, I suppose, is the idea, right? Or is this so like they've outlawed all these new ones? We got this old one that people don't think of.
No, so it's not just like the name of things that are outlawed. It's also the type. They're using chemically.
This isn't like how weed's legal in Tennessee because it's not THC, it's THCA.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not like that.
So Russia's being bad. Well, somebody should do something about that. You can't get away with that.
And so they're using it to remove entrenched Ukrainian positions.
Right. We're not trying to kill them. We're trying to get them to run away.
Yeah. So there are there's evidence brought forward that says that a number of Ukrainian soldiers have died from this and others have been injured. Not only this particular gas, but also just the same gas that are like tear gas. They've been firing tear gas into some of these entrenched positions, and some soldiers have died from inhalation exposure of that as well. So, I mean, Russia obviously is denying it. And you know, likely consequences are going to be minimal, but at least it's being called out on the world stage.
They're not supposed to use tear gas?
No.
Do police use tear gas?
So chemical warfare generally is any type is banned.
Cops use tear gas on crowds.
Right, but so this is more concentrated and in a close, more enclosed
space. Is that where they got the word concentration? No.
But when cops use it, it's much less concentrated and it's typically in open air environment.
You know what? I learned something. I thought I was being a smarty pants. All right. I'm looking forward to you saying this next headline.
Okay. The House rejected an effort by Moscow Marge, Marjorie Three Toes, to remove Speaker Mike Johnson, Big Mike, with a bipartisan 359-43 vote against the motion. For all you cool kids out there who are in the Patreon, you heard her get booed in the secret track earlier. She had been promising to do this, as we reported on the show previously.
She gave herself a week of news coverage by saying, I'm going to do this next week.
Essentially, she was dragging her feet because she knew it wasn't going to go anywhere.
No, that's what it looks like. She got to talk about it. Every time she says that, the cameras are pointing at her.
Sure. That too.
And she's telling her constituents that have been fed misinformation from Moscow and telling her staffers, these are the things we care about. So she goes up there and pulls stunts because she's not smart enough to realize she's being manipulated.
All of that's true. All of that is true. So House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries had come out some time ago and said, look, if she actually does this, we'll vote to not have him removed as speaker.
10 Democrats still voted for her. No, 10 Republicans voted with her.
10 Republicans voted with her.
And 30, 30 something Democrats did.
Right. Also, I think 9 or 10 Democrats just voted present.
Oh, that must have been
one way or the other.
It's interesting.
So pretty significant to get this Congress to agree on almost anything. Surprising that it's Big Mike that would bring some unity here. But he's shown that he's been willing to sort of compromise with Democrats on things that they care about to get things passed, like the Ukrainian aid and other things like that. So, I mean, I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, the thing is, though, that the way the House rules on the Republican side are currently constructed, this could happen again next month.
Yeah.
All it does is really distract from anything that's actually useful legislation that might be passed by Congress.
Right.
So it's annoying in that aspect. And as you said, she's just, she's showboating for the cameras here. This was essentially a publicity stunt. There's no other way to say it, really.
Yeah. What do you make of her saying it's a uniparty when both parties think that what she's doing is stupid? Is that?
I mean, it's disingenuous. It's not true. I mean, it's obviously not a uniparty. they obviously have different interests and vote for different things.
It's like when you do one thing to piss off everyone, you don't get to just say they're all in cahoots together. Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. Yeah. If nobody on the playground likes you, that's maybe about
you. You're all in a cabal together. It's like, where have we heard this before? A Georgia appeals court agreed to review the ruling that allowed District Attorney Fani Willis to stay on the president's Trump. Why is this worded like this? Georgia appeals court agreed to review the ruling that allowed District Attorney Fani Willis to stay on former President Trump's election interference case in the state, despite a relationship with the then special counsel prosecutor. What this means is a month or two ago, the judge in the case said he's not going to dismiss Fani Willis from the case, but he did say the proper thing to do is allow an appeal on this. I could be really biased like Judge Cannon and say you don't get to appeal something, but he's not acting like Judge Cannon. He's saying the right thing is to let them appeal this. So they did appeal it, and the appeals board in Georgia is a bunch of Republicans that are likely very sympathetic to Donald Trump. So we shall see.
Yeah,
it's delaying this case at a minimum for them to finish that. It's delaying this case until 2025. That's the takeaway is this case isn't happening until 2025, at least now.
Right, so post-election.
If at
post-election.
All.
Yeah. Yeah, if at all. So, yeah, McAfee did rule that. He said she could stay on the case. She just had to get rid of Nathan Wade, which she did. I think she'd already even done it when he said that. But, I mean, this. What sucks about this whole thing is that it distracts from all of the facts of the case, which is that Trump called and said, I just need X amount more votes than we have. And
then he clarifies, which is how many we have plus one.
Right. Among other things, you know, they did things like
Ty Cobb.
Going to an election office. Yeah, Ty Cobb, all that stuff. So all of the facts of the case remain true. This is just a side thing. Now, Fani Willis, I will never forgive her for this lapse of judgment.
Yeah.
I think it's absolute bullshit that a DA would engage in this behavior, especially knowing that you're walking into the lion's den in this case.
Yep.
Like, I don't know.
How could you think that would be a secret or, if exposed, not be exactly
what this is? There's no fucking way. Like, you have to know better than that.
And I understand conservatives that question her judgment because of that, too.
Sure. I don't. But that's the thing. It doesn't change any of the things that happened.
No, but if you think that your guy's getting picked on, that will make you feel more comfortable.
Oh, I would absolutely be.
You know? If you've told yourself that he's being singled out, then that would help you feel comfortable when you see reasons why he deserves it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is unforgivable.
And so what are we saying? We're saying that Donald Trump, in his ongoing magnificence, has continued to have the lucky, he has the best luck with his opponents. Like, he just always has very easy opponents. He's just
like a cat with nine lives.
He's just been so lucky. Like, all of his opponents have always been Hillary Clinton.
I mean, even in the New York case with Stormy,
Stormy.
You know, we've seen, you know, the difficulty with the witnesses they put on the stand with Stormy herself.
Yeah.
Her character being impeached. These are, it does.
Yeah. The prosecution didn't need to do that is what you mean.
They didn't need to do that. Right. Absolutely. I mean, we'll see. To your point, it is likely that this appeals panel will be probably Trump leaning. However, I do think that there are a lot of conservative Republicans in Georgia who don't like what Trump did in Georgia.
Yeah, I've voted for conservatives in my life. Like, I would love to see a good one to pick right now. Like,
yeah, no, but
unfortunately, I live in Tennessee, and Marsha Blackburn ain't it. You know,
right. But I think that there are, you know, there's still enough conservatives out there that see through what's happening or what's happened here. So we'll see.
We need good balance. Like, you know,
the thing is, this case is a state case. I think it's the only state case.
Yeah.
So this is the only one that Trump just couldn't, pardon himself from.
Instruct his
Justice Department not to pursue.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He has no power here.
Yeah.
So, and that was always the thing with this case. So that makes it even more frustrating that she engaged in this behavior. Yep. It's just, I hate this story.
I just saw this next one. I'm so glad you included it. They dropped this shit on a fucking Friday. like we wouldn't catch on. And then it's not in the news this week. I'm so glad you included this. Go on. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Justice Department indicted Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat from Texas, and his wife on charges of accepting $600,000 in bribes from entities in Azerbaijan and Mexico.
Alan, it's always Democrat senators that are doing this and representatives, just like that guy in New York. Yeah. It's only Democrat. Like, because that's what happens. Like, these stories break and they're like, look, another Democrat. It's like, man, the whole show has been the former president. Like,
exactly. Cuellar pleaded not guilty and plans to seek re-election. I mean, the facts of the case as have been laid out in the press currently seem pretty like, no, they wrote checks and they're clearly, they used a shell corporation, which I think one of their children was on the board of.
Oh, God. So, what do you think he is, Hunter Biden?
So they're also being accused of money laundering because of that, because of using that shell corporation to receive this money. They were what they said they were doing was consulting work for the Azerbaijani government. There's no evidence that any.
Wow.
Sort of
so you're a real piece of shit. Hold on. Because like we're talking about the government led by that guy that pretends like he's a fucking general that created an amusement park based on all the brutalities and like literal horror scenes acted out. Like they have those in as amusement park rides and in Azerbaijan where they just killed Armenians. Like they have like heads and empty helmets and blown up things. Wow. Yeah. So he picked Azerbaijan for his bribery. Go fuck yourself.
And he gave pro-Azerbaijani speeches. He voted in Senate.
How could you even make the words come out of your mouth?
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
No.
So we'll see. He's like, nope, nothing happened. Nothing to see here. He claims that he ran everything by the congressional lawyers are. I don't remember what they're called right now.
Counsel.
Yeah, counsel. Wow. He's like, no, I ran it all past them. They said this is all kosher, so nothing to see here. Please move along. It seems pretty obvious that's not the case.
Right. Good detail. $600K. Let's move into weird science. Scientists observed an orangutan treating a wound using a medicinal plant, marking the first documented case of such an activity or an action by a wild animal. This isn't the first one of these stories where we're like, hey, these things have never been observed before. Either we're on the cusp of like a huge breakthrough for this species, which still takes place over evolutionary timescales. So, you know, if they're 6,000 years old, then like 100 years, maybe, I don't know. but like, you know, it's going to take generations of this, or this happens and it doesn't happen very often and it hasn't been documented. Yeah.
Right. Right. So this was,
by the way, if they were good at tools, they'd be, you know, having, you know, proxy wars. They'd already have proxy wars.
So this was an adult male who had achieved,
of course it was a man.
Yeah, whatever status. And so he was fighting with other males for dominance. He got an injury on his cheek.
Of course it was a man.
There's actually a picture you can see the injury, likely caused by, you know, brawling with other orangutans. The behavior that was observed was him actually taking leaves from this plant, which is known to have medicinal qualities.
Coca leaves.
Chewing the leaves and then taking them like the mash out of his mouth and packing it into the wound.
Oh, wow.
Which is like incredible.
Yeah.
And then they even saw him again. Some flies were like landing on the wound, which obviously could be bad, cause infections and things like that. He did it again. He chewed more of this plant.
Cover
and
put it on. To keep the flies covered off.
It. Yeah. And within, I want to say like a week, the wound was healed and it was a pretty nasty wound. It was right on his cheek. It was probably the size of, I don't know, bigger than a silver dollar for sure.
Whoa.
So pretty crazy to see this behavior. It's not known whether this was, you know, learned maybe by watching humans do things. It's not been observed in the other orangutans in this area. So unclear if he's, you know, came from somewhere else where he learned this.
Are you saying that there's either zookeepers packing up stuff on their cheeks like that? Or you're saying people at the zoo watching him?
It's not in a zoo.
Oh, wild orangutan.
Wild orangutan.
Whoa.
So yeah, this is pretty interesting stuff. So
are you suggesting there's people over there chewing on stuff and putting it in their cheeks? And he learned from watching that?
It's possible.
When I say putting it in their cheeks, you think that's going to get isolated?
James, get on it.
Jamie, your turn.
Researchers identified the building blocks described as a phonetic alphabet of a language-like system of communication among sperm whales by analyzing their click patterns using statistical analysis. So I think we're going to see more and more of this stuff as AI continues to progress. This is bad.
Oh, this is so bad.
They didn't use AI to kind of get here. So we think that
so scared. I had a thought about this, and I thought I was like, don't share that with people. They're going to think you're a stoner. Go on.
Okay. So we think we found essentially what would be like an alphabet or proto-alphabet that these sperm whales are using to communicate with each other. And that means that they can communicate ideas with abstract language, which is insane.
Right.
These whales specifically, this whale actually has, fun fact, you use this for your next Trivial Pursuit game. Mm. Sperm whales have the largest brain of anything on this planet.
Whoa. That's why they're that shaped with that big old sperm head.
I don't know about that, but
man, yeah, they got the big old head, right? You just sperm whale. It's the classic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously one would assume that there's some evolutionary reason for that to be developed in this animal. So this is really cool to me. I've loved whales since I was like a kid.
Free Willy and you're like, hell yeah, Michael Jackson.
No, I lived in Cambria on the, in the central coast. And, I remember like some scientists came to my grammar school, and we had like a little, thing in the auditorium where they talked to us about whales.
Yeah.
And ever since then I've been hooked.
Did you guys have like the humpbacks went through there, right?
Yeah. In fact, I lived on the, up on the mountains in Cayucas, and you could see the ocean, and you could see them as they were migrating past. You could see them blow. Yeah. It was pretty cool. So I've loved whales for a long time, but yeah. So sperm whales, when they sleep vertically.
What?
And they usually have, they sleep this way in the water. And there's usually a pod of like 10 to 12 of them. Although we do have evidence that they gather, and sometimes there's like thousands of them come together. We're not sure why. A lot of behavior we don't understand about sperm whales yet, but this is really fucking cool. I don't know. This excites me.
So you're saying there's like big, like, patches of sperm whales, like,
yes.
Like globs of them, or like
you could describe it as such. Yes,
all right. Sure. They cluster together.
Globs of sperm whales. Yes. So this is fun stuff, man. What were you going to say about the?
I had a smoked out thought, but now it seems to be worth sharing. If AI can interpret or find a way to communicate with other species, it's just an arms race. Like, what happens when China is like, hey, killer whales, can you stop attacking all these yachts? You know, the real people that you should be going after, all these like submarines or like, you know.
Oh,
yeah. See what you're meaning. Yeah. Yeah. What happens when they use communicating with, I mean, because like, why would any technology not be used in warfare?
Sure. Well, that's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah. What happens when they make all the dogs hate us?
You weaponize whales. Fuck.
This came from me thinking I don't want to have to listen to my dog talk, especially Mithra. I was like, I would love to be able to talk to Petra. I was like, I would hate to be able to talk to Mithra. Jesus. Fetch. Fetch. I'm going to go look at my ball. Squirrel. Fetch. Yeah. Lick my balls. They're not there anymore. Okay. That's terrifying. I'm glad it scared you too. Okay. Well, thanks for justifying that fear. Glad that's working out. FTX lawyers said that we're doing econ now. FTX lawyers said that the bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange recovered enough funds to repay customers in full plus interest. Though the plan does not account for the appreciation in value of crypto assets. So they're able to restore these people their money plus interest. But it wouldn't be the amount of money if they would have had the actual investment that they had initially that they lost.
Just to quantify that. So at the time, so they're kind of going the Wayback Machine and saying, okay, we're going to pay you based on what the value of that was at X date. So just to quantify that, Bitcoin, if you had one Bitcoin on this exchange, at the time, the date that they set, it would be worth about $19,000. With the interest, it's about $21,000. However, the current value of Bitcoin
is like $60,000.
So essentially,
nobody's noticed that it went back up except for the Bitcoin nerds. Like, I was listening to a podcast today. They were talking about that, the guy that did the commencement address at Ohio State that wrote it on ayahuasca and he made everybody sing the Four Non Blondes song. I got so many people sent it to me. I'm like, I'm not playing this on the show. I appreciate it. Keep sending things in, but like, no. Yeah. He like had a crypto rant in the middle of it. And people were like, they booed. Like the whole crowd went, they groaned. When he said crypto, the audience. So I listened to podcasts talk about it. They're like, the kids are all right. We're going to be okay. I'm like, do you not know that crypto is at like 60,000 right now? Like, or the Bitcoin is. And anyway, I feel like people are sleeping on ever since the ETF, it went up a lot.
It went up a lot. So essentially you're getting a third of the value of your investment at this point. Yeah. Lawyers for SBF are trying to use this in his appeal, saying, look, we made people whole. Unclear whether that will work or not. I don't think it should. I think he obviously did things that were clearly, I mean, there's no way they weren't fraudulent.
Yeah, fraud.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the good investments that he made was to invest in the AI company Anthropology. And so a lot of the reason that they're able to pay these people back was they sold off that asset for like $884 million or something like that. And so, I mean, if I was an investor in FTX or had, you know, currency on that exchange, I guess, you know, it's better than nothing, but it's still, you're getting a third of the value if you have Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the reality is you got scammed, right? So you should be happy you got your money back. Like,
yeah,
you don't get the fantasy that he sold you. You got scammed. That's why Americans are so open to scams, because we're like, oh, you'll be okay though, right? Like, no, man, like you got scammed. Don't vote for Donald Trump. Like,
it's not FDIC insured. I don't know. I want to see crypto.
That's not the part that I'm falling back on is FDIC, but I understand.
Yeah. I want to see crypto succeed. I think it's
having a form of payment that doesn't involve government in between the two parties, I think is a good, it's the natural state of things.
I think it's a cool technology.
It doesn't have to be the dominant one. It just has to be a competitive one.
Yeah. And I think that it can be useful in certain instances. I hate that the things like this have happened within that.
Is it like buying teenagers and moving them across state lines, or is that just for Matt Gaetz?
It's just, you can only do that if you're in Congress.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate that stories like this sort of, you know, give crypto a black eye.
Black guy?
Black eye.
Oh.
Eye. Black eye.
Black is better.
But but here we are. Okay. So, I mean, that's
congratulations, that's, Alan. You did get through that sentence. I did get through.
I was like, to the last headline. Here? So, in other news, we have a few stories in here. RFK campaign cheating to get on the ballot in NY.
Oh,
so the so what? RFK's.
Oh, wait, is this related to that thing I was saying about how he has that weird convention in Michigan?
No, this
is like flat out cheating.
So as you mentioned on the show, on the Wednesday show, RFK has not been successful in getting on the ballot in every state. He's still working on it. And so in New York, he's still trying to collect enough signatures to get on the ballot. He has to collect 45,000 to get on the ballot, but most campaigns try to collect far more than that because there's a potential that some of those signatures will be kicked out because of whatever reason they didn't pass the smell test.
Yeah.
So what has happened here is that the campaign has hired a bunch of people to go out and try to get people to sign this petition. And they were caught like folding over the top of the paper where it showed his name, when they're asking people to sign it and telling people, we just want to make sure that Democrats can get on the ballot. And what happened was they ran into,
they're like, that feels ethical enough. I don't feel like I'm lying.
They ran into a judge.
They ran into
a number of New York Times reporters
on
the street, just haphazardly, where they went and tried to get them to sign it. In the case of the judge is actually quoted in this article. The judge said, they asked me to sign it. I noticed the paper was folded over, and the judge said, you know, who is this for? And the person immediately grabbed the clipboard back. Oh, she informed them that she was a judge. And the person immediately grabbed the clipboard back and said, am I in trouble? And so obviously this got reported up. And so the campaign is saying, look, we hired private contractors. We didn't tell them to do that. That's not what we told them to do.
Sure.
But there's multiple instances.
Plausible. Fine.
Yeah, of course. There's multiple instances of it happening, as I said, a journalist and a judge. So pretty
yeah, but we both worked at companies that said you can't fudge your numbers, but we would talk to our coworkers and figure out how to make sure we had good sales.
Sure.
Not the sales, but the sales reporting, right? Where they were like, look, you know, you can't just be really good at selling printers. It turns out you have to sell a ream of paper with it. Like, get the fuck out of here. Right. And I won't get a bonus if we don't do that a certain number of times. Yeah, I'm going to finesse that. Sorry. I'm going to go back to making you a shitload of money selling printers.
If you ever bought a printer at Staples and they tried to sell you a
cable,
a $35 cable that was 12 feet long and gold plated ends, that's why. Not because you needed to print 12 feet away or the
cable ink, Kips. Paper, or service plan.
Service
plan. Why is that still in my head?
Or because.
same reason Read a Need is in my head. Remember Read a Need?
Right.
Sorry.
I do remember that. Do you remember the Bed Bath one? It was Got a Pen.
Got a Pen. Yeah, of course I remember Got a Pen. Greet, offer a cart, thank, pass the buck.
Invite back. Yeah.
Oh, what's E? Never H. say no.
I don't.
E, yeah. Hmm. Always wear your name tag. Got it. Why?
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. One more RFK headline. Turns out he had a worm in his brain and it died.
Brainworms.
Which is pretty funny. And the reason.
This is slanderous. This is coming out now. This is slanderous. These are hit pieces. This is a hit piece.
Part of the reason we know about this is because it was mentioned in his divorce papers.
Oh, never mind. I saw people saying that online. They're like, this is a hit piece. These media outlets are being like, they're going after the guy because they love Biden. It's like, it's literally public knowledge from his divorce proceedings. Yes. Yeah. And he said in them, he said, I was cognitively impaired from it.
Right. Because he was trying to say, you know, I can't make as much money as I used to. So don't take as much money from me. So pretty funny stuff. I don't really have more to say about that.
Oh, I do. It's hereditary.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you know it's hereditary? They found 22 slugs in his dad's brain.
Okay. I did not see that coming. That was great. That was good. That was good.
Thank you. I got corrected. I was saying 38 very nice. Slugs just because I figured, you know, most assassinations are 38. And then Paul, of all people, corrected me. Gun Truck Paul corrected me. It was a 22 that was used. And that actually, pardon my...
blew your mind?
Yeah. I didn't mean it to be that way.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I got right up to the beginning. I was like, whoa, don't jump in. Don't jump in. Yeah, that blew my mind. Like, could you imagine thinking you're going to go kill someone with a 22? Like, I can't wait to murder you. Like, I'm just going to get a sub 9mm round. Like, people laugh at a 9.
Film does not make it appear to be a 22. That's, I didn't know that. That's why.
No. Not his dad. Not his uncle's
right,
dad. Yeah, the
right,
kitchen.
Right, that's when, right. JFK.
When RFK got killed in that kitchen by a 22.
Yeah, 22, though. I mean, I figure you could take a couple 22s to the
face. I mean, if you shoot someone enough, I would imagine it would kill you. But don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not, I don't think I'm Superman. But, like, if I'm trying to defend my life or if I'm trying to kill someone, I'm going to get a larger size round than that. Like, yeah.
Right.
I have a 22 right. just for fun. Like, it's really not. People, it's fun to shoot. Like, if you want to shoot a gun, it's less expensive. Usually higher magazines.
Right,
yeah. Yep.
And the ammo is relatively inexpensive. Super cheap. Yeah, it's fun for target purposes.
Yeah. Is it a rifle with the 10 round magazine up through the front there?
Yes.
Oh, I love those. Yep. Oh, we have one of those at
those
the cabin.
Are fun, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a cap times. Gun. Like, it feels like you're shooting a cap.
Basically.
Gun. Yeah. You put a suppressor on that, and you're like, you hear the pin more than anything else. It's insane. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry.
My son was shooting that thing when he was like 6 years old.
That's the perfect gun to start with.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm going to do one more in other news. I don't know if anybody saw this, but Apple released a new iPad over the weekend, and they had an ad which did not go over very well. And Apple typically doesn't apologize for shit they do. However, this one, they're like, yeah, we fucked up here. So the ad, if people haven't seen it, is essentially like a bunch of things like a piano, musical instruments being crushed by like this vice.
And oh, like a press? Like a hydraulic like a press?
Okay. Like the thing they use, like, yeah, like what they use to crush cars in or whatever. Uh-huh. And so Apple was trying to say, look, you don't need all this stuff. The iPad can do this all for you, and you can be creative and use the iPad. Obviously, people in the creative community did not take well to that, when, especially with creatives being concerned about AI taking their
jobs. They probably used AI to make the video.
They probably did.
Well, I thought you were going to bring up the other ad that they did. Did you see the one? Did Thrash send this to you?
No.
Thrash sent me a thing where it was a side-by-side shot that they used in one of their photos or videos in a commercial or an ad, and they didn't like that the picture of, I think it's Oakland, it's somewhere off like the 101, has like houses and backyards and then the freeway in it. So they AI'd out the freeway and put in more houses. And it was just like, you didn't have to go take another picture. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, that is so gross. Well, that's fucking that's really gross. Like, why would you even take the effort to do that when there's other stock photos you can make? Like, you have all our pictures. Gross. They're in the clouds. I'm sure we agreed to it somehow that it could be used in your commercials.
Anyways, it was a rare instance of Apple being like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Apple is sort of the technology of the creative type, right?
In their personal stuff, sure, but not in their studios.
Like video editing, audio, people who, you know, musicians, that tends to be the brand that people use to do that sort of thing.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no.
Everybody I know, like photographers who are, you know, really into photography, every musician I know, they all use.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I agree. And then if you have like a professional, like when I say a studio, I mean like Sony isn't using, you know, Apple Movie Creator. I mean, there might be instances of it, but I mean, you know, I think that at a certain level, professionals of this use a different caliber tool. But that's what's great about Apple is they democratized those tools for the people we know that are professional photographers. Fair. We don't have to argue over that. See, it's none taken. Absolutely. Are we in media diet?
We are in media diet.
You watched Monkey Man?
I did.
How did you like it? Wait, tell everyone. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's your turn.
All right. So Monkey Man is set in, well, it doesn't specify, it's got to be India, right? And essentially it is a tale of revenge, best served cold. It reminded me somewhat of like, I don't know if you ever watched like the old Ong Bak movies back in the day. He was a martial artist from
Thailand? Thought that's that sandwich, that Cuban sandwich Vietnam.
Ong Bak was the actor's name. He was in a number of movies. There was one where he was somebody came to his village and like killed his elephants, and so he just went on a fucking rampage.
Hell yeah,
it's good stuff. Anyway, so Monkey Man, it as the story develops, you kind of learn more and more about the reasons this individual is engaging in this behavior. It takes a while to understand what happened and why. It is John Wick on acid and steroids,
and it's mixed with somewhat Bollywood-ish tropes, but not completely. Yep. Not heavily, right? Like
not heavily.
Are there dance scenes?
No.
Okay, good.
No, not at all. Right. And I wouldn't call any of that dancing.
Okay.
Alan,
hot take. Indians don't dance.
It is a thing to watch, man. It is a thing to behold.
Yeah,
I would say
it's a spectacle.
Be prepared for a lot of violence.
Yeah.
So if that's not your thing, don't watch this. If you like John Wick style movies, you're going to enjoy the fuck out of it.
Isn't it Jordan Peele?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I thought I was looking forward to it the most because it's Jordan Peele doing something, you know, again, sort of branching into a slightly different genre. Genre. Alex Trebek and Ken Jennings.
Dev Patel is the director. I don't know if Jordan Peele was involved in it or not.
Okay, I think it was like a collaborative in some way. So Dev Patel directed it. Okay.
Anyways, it's really good. If you're into that genre, as you said, of movie, definitely check it out.
I've been looking forward to it. You give it a number like 3+.
Oh, easy.
Out of 5.
If it's If we're out of five, I'd say it's a 4+.
Whoa, really? Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
My friend saw it in theaters and he didn't give it a bad review, but he was kind of like, I didn't need to like go to an IMAX viewing of this. I mean, I imagine from what you're saying, it would have been great in that.
I would think so. Okay. I didn't see it in IMAX, obviously, but, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great ride.
Okay. All right, cool. I'll check it out. I was looking forward to it anyways. That's good because I got a somewhat bad review. Can I do all of these movies I watched?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course,
do. I broke down. I was in a capacitated state over the weekend, as I've referred to subtly in the last two episodes. And Natasha took advantage of that and forced me to watch the romantic comedy starring Goose's son from Top Gun and Tits McGee of the moment, Hollywood's local or Hollywood's newest. What was that chick? Who's that girl that was in Hunger Games?
Oh,
yeah, she's like another one of those. Sydney Sweeney.
Okay. Yeah.
So Sydney Sweeney, Tits McGee, like every shot, you're just like, Jesus Christ. Even Natasha was like, come on. Like, what? like it is.
Stop with the cleavage.
Well, already. I'm not saying stop with it, but it's just like, it is gratuitous. And
it's gratuitous. Okay.
I mean, yeah. Not complaining, but you know.
Wait, what's the movie called?
You're like, hold on. Let me write this down. It's called Anyone But You. It's on Netflix. You already pay for Netflix. If you.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll check it out. If you're into, I don't know. It's a romantic.
I don't even need more of a review than that.
It's so. I never really liked romantic comedies, and they only got worse, right? And I feel like the peak for romantic comedies in terms of like good ones is probably like early 90s. But by the time the 2000s got around, they were like super formulaic. And and that's kind of when I developed my repulsion for them.
They were all cookie cutter.
And then I like hated them. And then a long time went by, and like anything, you sort of get nostalgic for that time in the 90s when they had fun romantic comedies that you hated. And right, this is one of those in a way that, you know what? It's good. Here's why it's good. I'm not ruining shit. If you don't figure this out, you're just not paying attention. There's all these scenes with poetry in the background that, given the English people in the movie, if you got any sense, you're thinking, what Shakespeare play are they doing? And you go through the common ones. I'm like, it's not Taming of the Shrew. That's 10 Things I Hate About You. You know, you're like, well, and they wouldn't redo, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You. Right. Or maybe that's She's All That. Maybe that's both. it turns out it's Much Ado About Nothing. So it's a retelling of Much Ado About Nothing. And it's good. It's good, okay, for what those are. And it's certainly good if you just ate a bunch of gas station mushrooms. It's legal. They're legal. It's fine.
That time period you're talking about, like in the 90s, 2000s, was when every rom-com had like Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant in it.
Yep. Or Jennifer Lopez or, Matthew McConaughey. Oh, and, Goldie Hawn's daughter. Why can't I not remember names, but only things that refer to names? Let me play you a scene. Oh, so they go to Australia for the wedding. There's a wedding. They go to Australia. So a lot of this movie is filmed in some beautiful areas outside of Sydney. And I had this queued up and ready, but Netflix hates me. let me play you. There's a scene where one of the male romantic, Goose's son from Top Gun 2. He is still in love with a girl that happens to be in Australia when he gets there, except she's dating this like dumb bro surfer dude. And,
of course she is.
Yeah. And so Goose's son in Top Gun, he has a name. I just forget it right now. Glenn Howell. I don't know. It's sure. Okay. He's always shirtless in this movie. So he's shirtless going to take a shower from before for whatever, like an outdoor shower, like next to the pool. And the guy, the surfer bro, just finished surfing and he comes in and this
quickie. Okay.
Drops trowel. Now we got full butt cheeks here.
So Australia. And, what do you reckon, eh? How you finding it?
I know, it's great.
Maz goes on about you all the time. A ripper cunt, she calls you.
A ripping
Maz
cunt.
Is Margaret, and ripper cunt is...
Good friend.
Ripper cunt.
Oh, yeah. You know you had a proper surf when sand gets all up your clacker.
So we get a few Australian words. So clacker.
I like it.
Clack, okay. Clacker.
Yeah, and your gobbler, too.
Gobbler.
Gobbler is...
Gobbler.
You know, your hog bonnet. You know, your beef cap. Come on, mate. You know, the anteater.
And you see a dick at that point.
Anyway, good to have you.
G'day, love.
Hogbonnet.
I'm trying to stop it. Sorry. No, it's not going to. We're not calling the show Hogbonnet.
That's good. I'm going to want to lose listeners.
Wonder what the AI comes up with when I type that in. that could be the workaround. Use Australian slang, right?
Yeah,
they're not on the internet. Not the AI. I watched Unfrosted.
Watch?
I watched Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld Pop Tart movie.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
I can't recommend it, but again, you've paid for Netflix, and if you can't decide on anything, give it 5 minutes, and if the cameos make you laugh or you enjoy spotting all the cameos, it's entertaining, and I will say, like the clip we played last week, it does have jokes.
Okay, it is funny on some level.
It is not funny, but okay. It contains funny. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes
sense. I use it all the time as an example, but the Walk Hard movie, the Dewey Cox one, the Johnny Cash spoof, is an hour and a half movie with like 5 to 15 minutes of actual good comedy in it. And and in that same sense, this movie has, I think, a worthwhile amount of jokes in it to say, yeah, watch it. But I can't recommend a Pop-Tart movie with Jerry Seinfeld in it. Like, you know, there's an unnecessary January 6th reference that I think honestly brings the tone down. You're like, why are you doing this? Why? Like, it's not funny. Like, it wasn't like, I don't know what world, like maybe the MSNBC crowd would laugh at it, but like, don't. I mean, do whatever you want. It's a Pop-Tart movie. I can't be that critical. I've started watching a series on Netflix starring Jeff Daniels called A Man in Full. It's about a politician in Atlanta or outside of Atlanta. I think he might be in, I'm kind of blanking, sorry. Fulton, no, Fulton's the county, but I don't remember. But he is a public figure and he's created like an empire, and all of his enemies are sort of circling around him and trying to tear him apart, and he's fighting back. He's not a likable character either. So you're like, he's clearly the protagonist, but you kind of hate him.
Like a business empire, a political empire? What kind of empire?
I've watched a few things since then, and I only watched the first couple episodes, and now I can't remember if he's a former politician or if he just owns a bunch of politicians. I can't remember. But he is maybe former politician or politician, and here's one huge flaw in it. He played for Georgia Tech and he won the national championship, and Georgia Tech won the national championship in 1990, but he would have been in college in the early to mid 80s. Mm. And the only time they won it before that was like 1952. Now here's the thing. Georgia Tech is in Georgia. Clearly, guess who won the national title in 1980? Georgia. You don't have to consult with like people that cost a lot of money. Like, you just ask me things like that. Like, I was off the top of my head. I was like, I know these two things. I know for a fact, Georgia Tech has not been significant for a long time. Okay. We're not talking college football. I'm sorry. It's tempting. So there's times where this series, I kind of felt like I didn't want to commit to it. And then I saw it's a Tom Wolfe book. And when you look at the characters, there's a banker that's calling in his debt on the guy because he owes like $1 billion. He's Trumpian in many ways.
Okay.
But he's a Democrat in the show. The banker's a total dick. But when you think about it as a character in a book, it's good. But it's just, I don't know, it's not translating to screen very well, in my opinion. That's my critique of it. Although I think you like good storytelling, and I think the storytelling in it is still good. I would recommend it. And again, you've already paid for Netflix, so
yeah, might as well.
Yeah. Here's something I paid for. Last night, you know, we were going to go out, but we had the storm. So we're like, well, let's just stay home with the dogs, make sure our house doesn't get sucked off the ground, and let's watch a movie. So here's the logic, right? We were going to go out and spend a bunch of money on dinner. Let's watch a movie that'll cost us less to buy than two movie tickets. The movie's out in theaters right now, Ghostbusters 5. I bought Ghostbusters 5.
What'd you think? The trailers look pretty good to me. I haven't seen it.
It's fine. I would say like it's not bad, but I don't want them to make another. Which yeah, you want a movie should make you hope that there's more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fine. It stars kids you don't know, a wife you don't know, and Paul
Rudd.
Walker. Oh, Rudd. Oh, see, if it was Paul Walker, he could be one. Could have been one of the ghosts. Gotcha.
Were you waiting this whole episode to drop that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, in my note, I put starring Paul dot dot dot.
Oh, I see that now.
Yeah. Just the dogs. I didn't want to accidentally say the right name.
Right.
Yeah. Paul Rudd's good in it. He's fine in it. I don't know. It was fine. I didn't hate it. It was it's good in like a Dan Aykroyd's in it. Peter Venkman, Bill Murray is in it. They brought back Ernie Hudson. What's his name in Ghostbusters?
I can't recall.
Ray, Egon, Peter, Winston. The actor Ernie Hudson. Winston, okay. All those guys came back in it. I mean, they couldn't bring in Spengler because he's dead. Favorite Harold Ramis movie is Groundhog Day. They didn't have Rick Moranis in it, but they had Janine, the secretary. Anyways, you know, it's fine. And anything's better than the one with the all female cast. That was the time where you're like, wow, all these like anti-woke activists, you get that one.
Yeah,
you get the
Ghostbusters. We'll let you have this one.
For sure. yeah, it was fine. Let's get into a game I'm very excited about playing with you.
Okay.
Just while we're on our media stuff, this won't be the question to end the show, but is the cast of Friends our Beatles?
Oh.
Because they all went off to do their separate projects. And then like the Beatles, one at a time, they've begun to die. Some tragically and too young. That makes Chandler or Matthew Perry our John Lennon.
Our Lennon,
yeah. He's our John Lennon. That's what we always say. Matthew Perry, our John Lennon.
Who's our George Harrison then?
Ross.
Yeah.
Nobody likes Ross.
He's going to live forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's yeah. 95 yeah. and stuff. Yeah.
And Phoebe's our Ringo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Shit.
That turned out to be way better. You know, when there's only one left and we're still doing memes, there's going to be a meme where it's just that one. And it says friend in the logo with no S. All right.
I can see it.
Are you excited about the game?
I am.
Did you see the name of the game?
No, I know it's not Wacky or Kakalaki.
So it is, yeah, because Thrash didn't send anything, and none of you guys sent in games to Alan, so I got to come up with a game of my own.
More games.
I came up with this one about 15 minutes before showtime. I'm very proud of this game. It is presidential, so it's first ladies or girlfriends of the presidents, because, you know, in old history, there's been bachelors. Well, maybe he's just waiting for the right lady, Alan. Or people where their wives died. So we have presidential first ladies or girlfriends or porn star names. Sorry. It's nicknames of presidential first ladies or girlfriends or porn star
Lady
names.
Lady Bird Johnson, for instance.
Well, let's see. Is that... we'll take number 8 off of this list. So we'll only have 10 of them.
That would have been a point for me.
That's all right. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
Lemonade Lucy. Porn star or first lady / girlfriend nickname? Guys out there, feel free to call your girlfriend or wife or fiance any of these nicknames. See what they like it. Lemonade Lucy.
I'm going to say not porn star.
Not a porn star? You're right. That's Lucy Hayes. So when Ulysses S. Grant left the White House, he stocked up the wine cellar, but it didn't matter because the Hayes administration was ran by abolitionist. That's not it. the temperance?
A teetotaler.
Teetotaler. There we go. Like Trump.
Sure.
The only exception she made was for Russian visitors in 1877. Like, all right, fine. We can't have the Russians. They're going to get unruly. You got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I've got, Sahara Sarah.
Sahara Sarah.
Yeah.
That sounds more more porn star than
adult film actress. See, I thought so too. You're wrong. I thought so too, but then you think about it, you don't want to associate it with dryness, right?
Oh,
but they don't always think that through, right? I mean, it's a cool name. It catches on. Like Mia Khalifa might not have been like the most. Anyways, Sahara Sarah is not a Middle Eastern porn star. It is Sarah Polk. Sarah Polk, before Lemonade Lucy, there was Sahara Sarah, a deeply religious woman. She didn't allow card playing. She didn't allow drinking or dancing at the White House. No dancing. So it's a real footloose situation under her.
She sounds like a real barrel of monkeys. Then.
That's later on in the list. Barrel of monkeys, Alan. Is barrel of monkeys a presidential girlfriend or a porn star? Oh, it's porn star. You're wrong, Alan. It was porn star. Barrel of monkeys. Don't Google that. That'll rule. Was it rule 53? Rule 40? Rule 34?
47?
43. Rule 43. Now I don't remember. 40. Agent 47. Agent 747. The guy killing all the Boeing people. Plastic Pat.
Plastic Pat. That can't be a porn. That's got to be.
That can't be a porn star. What about these big old gazungas, Alan?
Yeah, but they don't want to advertise I'm gonna say
some of them do. These bimbos out here, Alan, they're proud of it. Look at these lips.
I'm gonna say that's a first lady.
Okay. Look at these. You got it. 1 point for Alan.
Nice.
Great job. Plastic
I was just gonna fly right over those.
Do you know who it is?
No.
Pat Nixon, a name you never remember, right? Nobody remembers Richard Nixon's first. You remember all of the other. You remember Barbara. You remember Lady Bird. You remember Nancy. You remember, climbing out the back of the car. My husband's head. What's her name? It'll come to me. Slip my mind. Pat Nixon became Plastic Pat thanks to her husband's wrongdoing. She became famous for plastering on a smile on her face during press conferences.
I get it.
Tricky Dick and Plastic Pat.
She later on began starred in It's Pat.
It's Pat of Saturday Night Live fam. Ooh, those weird sounds. Evita of Santa Barbara.
Evita of Santa Barbara. I thought she was from Argentina. I'm going to say Evita. That's strange. I'll go porn star.
You'll go porn star. That is Throat Goat herself, Nancy Reagan.
Oh, Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. I've got a bone to pick, so to speak, with the whole Throat Goat. So what's the story about Nancy that I'm referring to?
Oh, she was the best giver of that special favor in the ballot.
Special favor. Okay. Yes. Have you ever seen the pictures of old Ronnie Reagan wearing gray sweatpants and there's like no bulge?
I haven't, but I'll take your word for it.
Perhaps the president bragged about how well she could, big quotes here, deep throat him. And he's just like, well, the whole thing. It's like, well, Ron, the whole thing? Wow.
Turns out she actually did have a gag reflex. He just didn't know.
Yeah, I think she earned this off of somebody bragging a little too much, right? Because the story got out there because someone was bragging, right?
Yeah, it had to. That's how that happens.
She would wear gaudy glamour. They called her a glamour. In the article that I'm looking at, they called her a glamour puss, which sounds like a separate category.
That does sound, yes.
She would wear mink robes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay,
I got one more for you.
Okay.
Stephanie Clifford.
I think you can end the show on that one.
All right. Well, I have a business idea while we're talking about presidents.
Okay.
All right. William Taft bathtub gin. Good night. Good night, everybody. See, the first one's lowbrow, and then we bring it up a bit.
Yeah. We
have fun in Washington, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Cheers. That was fun.
Of course, every time.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
What in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless
the United States.
Now this is podcasting.